Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do, too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions, worth staying up all night for. Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold.
Good evening and welcome to Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. My name is Donna Wright, and I'm on the couch with an old friend of ours. Kathleen Ball is here tonight to talk to us about her latest release. Kathleen, welcome back to Hummingbird Place.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I am hanging right in there. I've got a terrible cold. I tried to get Mallory Kane to go on the air for me tonight, but she whined her way out of it. She's very, very whiny. And she likes a little cheese with her wine as well. Hey, Kathleen, you know what we're going to do later? We are going to have a little salute to my friend Leanne Tyler.
Oh, that's right. It's her birthday, isn't it?
That's right. Today is her birthday. She's 29. We're the same age, 29. And Holden.
Me too.
And Holden. Anybody who wants to be. Anybody who wants to be. Would you like to be 29 tonight?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So we have everybody on the show tonight is going to be 29, period. We're not taking anybody. I mean, and if somebody's only 25, tonight they're 29. We don't care. We do not care. Okay, so Kathleen Ball is on the couch with me, and she is involved in Ring in a Cowboy, which is something that we've been talking about with some other authors. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story from Ring in the Cowboy?
Well, mine is called A Kiss at Midnight. It's it's a set of nine authors. And it's, you know, everyone was doing Christmas sets, so we decided to do a New Year's set. And they're cowboy stories. And mine is about a woman named Honora Garrity. And she's kicked out of her house by her husband. And, you know, of course, it's snowing out. And she goes to the closest diner. It's a contemporary Western. She goes to the closest diner and the person that owns the diner, she calls her friend Maverick, of course, is a big, hunky, you know, macho cowboy, to come and, you know, can he do something, you know, because she can't go back into her house and this type of thing. So then it comes out that her husband actually kidnapped her.
Huh.
Yeah, so she's been living, you know, pretty much locked in the house for, I think it's 5 years, 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's interesting. So she's in this house with this man for 5 years. What is happening inside the house? Is she a love slave or something?
Well, not exactly. It's almost on the, mine is pretty much on the sweet side. So he's told her that you are my wife. You won't leave the house. You'll do everything I say, but we don't go into any type of a sexual or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
But she's very, you know, oppressed and has no idea, because she was taken when she was 15. She has no idea this is not completely right. She knows there's something wrong with the whole thing, but it's just been ingrained into her that, you know, she does what her husband tells her to do.
Right. Or she faces consequences.
Yes. So then, you know, Maverick is kind of picking up on some of this stuff, and he's asking her, are you Amish? Is, you know, are you a different religion? Are you from a different country? Because he doesn't understand you do what your husband says.
Yeah.
Then when the husband comes around looking for her, he protects her. So he's the instant hero and everything. And
oh, I like him
it's
already.
It's a pretty good story. Yeah, it's a good story. You know, and
I like him already. Maverick. Whew.
Yeah.
I like it. So they, so after, okay, so the husband shows up. How long has she been at the diner with Maverick when the husband shows up?
Well, he takes her back to his ranch.
Okay.
And it's the next day. But the whole time she's just like, you know, so upset that even though he threw her out, he's, you know, she's not supposed to be away from the house.
Right.
So it's next day, the husband comes, and he just says no. He sends him, you know, with his tail between his legs and gets him out of there.
Good for her, him and her, both.
Yeah. So,
well,
and then
some counseling or anything? I mean...
Well, it takes a few days before she admits what happened. She's afraid to open her mouth because, of course, you know, the kidnappers threatened her family type thing. You know, if you ever leave me, I'll go after your family.
Right.
So they get all the authorities involved, and then she goes home for a year. And then it picks back up. She comes home. She comes back to the town that she had been living in, where Maverick is, a year later. The house is still there that she lived in with her husband, and she owns it. It's about the only thing she owns. So she decided she's going to start over, but she'll, you know, see what to do with the house, sell it, live there, whatever she wants to do.
What happened to the husband?
He's in jail.
Yay!
He went to jail, yeah. And so she gets scared, and she ends up at Maverick's ranch and stuff like that. But, yeah, she's very hesitant, and... he's just, like, the most understanding guy in the world. I really like Maverick.
Well, I can see a great arc, character arc here for her going from the shy, timid, scared little girl, basically, to a woman.
Yes.
Her own woman.
Well, that's why she had to leave her parents, because they just kept looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see what she was going to do and had their eyes on her at all times. And she's 21 at this point. And they won't even let her get a job or go to the movies by herself, you know. You know, you can understand their point of view. They haven't seen her.
Absolutely.
And she was gone.
Yeah.
So.
I can't actually understand where she's coming, where they're coming from. I mean, you would want, after her being away for so long, they would want to protect her and they would just be afraid for her, especially, you know, I'm sure when she came back to them, she wasn't in good shape.
No, not mentally at all, you know. So, yeah, so it was fun to write. It was very interesting. And it was something I'd never read before. So, you know, if I could think of something I haven't read before, it's like, I'm going to write that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are on the couch with Kathleen Ball, and we'll be right back after this.
Romancing the Smokies is a romance reader's dream with a book signing, author meet and greet, and luncheon. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, and Leanne Tyler. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry and with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99 and they will go up after December. The book signing is free, but attendees still need to register. Romancing the Smokies, meet who's hot. Visit romancingthesmokies.com for complete and up-to-date information. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news, every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio. Coming Tuesday, January 5th, from Dark Hollows Press, Savage Oasis, book two in Cassandra Pierce's new series. Patrick arrives at Oasis in search of answers. He finds an unexpected love instead with Zach, a guy who has plenty of secrets of his own. While he struggles to figure out Zach's evasive behavior, Patrick becomes the target of shifters who plan to use him in an evil revenge scheme. It's up to Zach to rescue him and explain his true feelings before time runs out and the full moon rises. Out January 5th, Savage Oasis by Cassandra Pierce.
All right, we're on the couch with Kathleen Ball, who has written a sweet little story called A Kiss at Midnight, and it's in the Ring in a Cowboy box set. Now, what is the word count on this?
That one, I believe, is 30,000.
Okay,
words.
So it's more like a novella.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and you said it is sweet?
That one's sweet. I know the other books in the set are not as sweet. They're almost all degrees. I don't think we have anything that's erotic, but
yeah.
We've got from steamy down on down to sweet.
And Kathleen, remind us again how we can find you on the internet and find your books.
Well, my website is www.kathleenballromance.com. All my books are on Amazon, amazon.com. You could just type in Kathleen Ball,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come up. I'm on Facebook, Kathleen Ball Western Romance. You can always find me there.
All right, so you're everywhere you should be.
That's right.
In a few places.
She's everywhere, but she should be everywhere. Everyone, Kathleen Ball, just like Santa Claus, she's everywhere. So, you know, as you know, Santa Claus is everywhere. He's watching you all the time.
That's right.
So was Santa good to you this year?
You know, it wasn't bad. I went down to Florida for a little while to see the in-laws, and bless their heart, they're like 85, still living in their house, still together.
Bless their hearts.
I know. It's, you know, because my parents are gone, and we go down there and see them, and it's like, this is like a miracle.
Yeah, really.
And it was kind of quiet, but we had a good time.
That's great. You know, sometimes those quiet holidays are the nicer ones, seriously.
They are. I didn't
because,
even have to
yeah.
present.
Well, you know, my husband and I, we have one son who's 26, and he and his beautiful wife came to my house and on Christmas Eve, and we watched a movie and gave presents to each other, you know, the present exchange, and we just had such a nice time. We didn't cook a lot. I'd bought one of those meat and cheese trays, and we had sandwiches and chips and the whole thing, and like I said, and it was so nice. And then the next day, my uncle, who is also going to be 85 next month, he lives just down the street from me, and he was going to come up and eat Christmas dinner with us, but he wasn't feeling good enough. He had caught a little bug or something. So my husband and I ate alone, just the two of us.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, and Ben had been out of town with his in-laws, but I didn't mind. And we were invited over there when they got back, and we went over there for a little while. So Christmas was beautiful. The way I look at it was everyone was healthy and had a couple of presents to open, and I don't think you can ask for more than that.
No, I don't think any more you can. I just, you know, I really think if you're happy, healthy, and you're with people you love, then you're blessed.
Absolutely. Well, Kathleen Ball, like I said, has a new Ring in a Cowboy, which is a New Year's, not a Christmas, but a New Year's box set that she is in with several other great authors. Hers is A Kiss at Midnight, a contemporary Western. It actually sounds actually really, really good, like one of those that I really need to go out and get. I love those kinds of things. And Kathleen, as always, love having you.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And Kathleen was one of my first guests ever on Hummingbird Place.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Do you realize that's been 2.5 years ago almost?
And we're still 29.
I know, and we're still 29. It's fabulous. That's
it
why
is.
You come on Hummingbird Place. It's sort of like what's the word I'm looking? It's sort of like the Fountain of Youth. That's what it is. It's like the Fountain of Youth. Well, Kathleen, again, thank you so much for being with us. And don't forget, everyone, to pick up A Kiss at Midnight from Ringin' a Cowboy, the box set. It's a New Year's box set, which is something a little bit different. What a great gal Kathleen Ball is. Love having her on. She writes a little on the sweet side, which is exactly what I like. So that's always nice. And then she writes about cowboys, and who doesn't like a sexy cowboy? In fact, somebody put Sam Elliott on my Facebook page. They posted him to my page, and I just couldn't find anything wrong with it. I'll just be honest with you.
You're listening to Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright.
And we are going to move on. We also have somebody who's been with us a few times before. We have Annette Drake. And Annette, welcome back to Hummingbird Place.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, it's always my pleasure to have you on, Annette. Now, this sounds interesting. This sounds a little bit different and interesting, everyone. I want you to listen to the title of Annette's latest work. It is called Death Goes to the County Fair. Now, my question is, did he ride the Ferris wheel? Did he get him some cotton candy and just walk around? You know, I mean, did people point when he was kind of, you know, up there in that thing that spins around and his robes was going everywhere? I mean, just talk to us, Annette. Tell us about Death going to the county fair.
Well, this is my first cozy mystery, and it's a genre that I've loved for years. And so I'm so excited to have this book out. And it's the first in a series of books. And if you see this cover, I don't know if the cover's on your website or not, and you can't, you know, see it over the radio, but it's the image of a death, and he's riding the Ferris wheel. Oh, no,
oh my
roller
gosh.
Coaster.
That's so funny, because I was making fun of you.
I know. And sitting next to him is, an image of my protagonist, a young, well, I call young, 22-year-old, you know, just a few years younger than us, Donna, a 22-year-old woman. That's my heroine of this series. And so it makes me laugh when you say, what does Death do to the fair? Because on the cover, Death is enjoying this roller coaster. You know how you put your arms up over your head?
Yeah,
when you're in a
parked
car.
Now. Yeah, it is. Everybody needs to go to thehummingbirdplace.com and look at it. Death Goes to the County Fair is, the book cover is on there, and Death is having a grand old time. And who would think about
pure intention. I wanted Death to be having a blast, and I think he is at this moment on the cover.
Okay, so what we've got in Death Goes to the County Fair is a cozy mystery. You've already said that. Tell me who your protagonist is. Who is trying to solve the mystery, and how does the person who dies actually die?
Well, there's actually three deaths in this book. My heroine is a 22-year-old young woman. She's just graduated from college. This is her first job out of college. And she's a photographer and a journalist, and she takes a job as news editor for the Ogallala Gazette in Ogallala,
wow.
Missouri. I love the name Ogallala. I just love saying it. I mean, it just feels better, Ogallala. I mean, it makes more sense. I stole the name from the state of Nebraska. There is an Ogallala, Nebraska, so I hope those folks will forgive me or maybe enjoy the book. I don't know. But so this is a young girl. This is her first job. She started in May when she graduated. It is now late July, early August, time for the county fair. And she's had a rough summer. She's had kind of a rough summer, and the book opens, well, there's a prologue, but the book opens on the first day of the fair when they find the first victim. And she is out there, and she's excited because, you know, she's been taking pictures of, you know, baby contest winners and the county's biggest pumpkin. And this is her first big news story. So she's excited to take these pictures, you know. And she soon encounters the local lawman, who is my favorite character. His name is Sheriff Cletus Buchanan. And
Now, wait. Say that one more time.
The sheriff, his name is Cletus Buchanan.
Cletus Buchanan.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, keep going.
So she's taking these pictures. And the sheriff's like, you know, Joni, I could confiscate that camera. And that kind of gets her attention. But the whole book takes place over the length of the fair. So, and it has to do with the fair. And so throughout the book, you know, we learn who the first victim actually was. I'm not going to tell anybody who he was. You have to read the book. But then as the book progresses, I hope I've done my job. I've dropped clues as to who's behind the first death. And I had a lot of fun writing this book. I had a lot of fun creating the world of Ogallala, Missouri. I just, you know, I love small towns. I'm from a small town in Missouri. So this is all very familiar to me. When I graduated in, oh, I shouldn't even say how long ago, a long time ago with a degree in journalism, because I worked as a journalist, this was my first job out of school, was for a small newspaper in Missouri. So I revisited all those experiences and tried to kind of incorporate, you know, what I learned over the course of my first year at a newspaper and gave it to Joni, my character, who is one of my favorite characters, too. I love Joni. She's very naive. She's very trusting. You know, she's 22 years old. You know, what do you know when you're 22? You know nothing, you know?
Well, being 29 years old, I can tell you that a 22-year-old knows nothing compared to me at 29.
Well, she drives, you're going to love this, Donna, she drives a 1970 AMC Gremlin.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember the Gremlins?
Oh, my gosh. I'm much too young to remember it, but oh, my gosh.
I just had fun with this book. I really, you know, allowed my imagination to go. It is not a romance, so I hope you'll
right.
I hope you'll still consider it. It's not a romance. There's no romance in it. It's a cozy mystery. I think, though, that the townspeople, the people that rally around Joni, you know, I think they have such warmth for her and such, you know, affection for her that I hope the reader gets that, too, when they read the book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure they will. It sounds great. I love the cover. And I want to know if death at any point, is death a person in the book, you know, an angel of death or anything?
No, he is not.
Okay,
he's not.
I just wondered.
I have this vision of, like I said, death riding a roller coaster, and it just made me laugh. And I put the illustration up on a website that a lot of authors look at called K-Boards. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's a great resource. I put it up on K-Boards. I said, hey, all comments are welcome. And some people wrote and said, you know, it looks like death is having a blast. And I just fist bump. Yes, that's exactly what I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted to convey, you know, the fun of it, the lightness of it, the frivolity of it, you know, that was my goal.
Well, I think you've met your goal in that cover. That cover is just fabulous. Now, let me ask you, is this going to be the last one? Is this an Ogallala mystery? It says on it. Let me start again. Hello, Donna. Go back. Okay. This says on it an Ogallala mystery.
Yeah.
Ogallala. Pronounce that.
Ogallala.
I love it.
Yeah, Ogallala.
Okay, so I'm assuming by that and hoping that death is going to do more than just go to the county fair.
Yes, let me tell you what death is doing the next book. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, death goes spelunking.
Oh my goodness, death goes spelunking?
Yes, and I've already started working on the illustration for it. I don't know if you, I have never been spelunking, I'll just own that. But spelunking is when you go and you explore a cave, you know, and there's a lot of spelunking in Missouri because there's a lot of caves.
Right.
So I'm already playing around with how I want that illustration to look, but death will definitely be on cover number two.
Well, I just think that it is very, very cute. I love the idea. And a cozy
Thank
mystery
you.
Should be something cute. Now, let me tell you this, just so, first off, everyone, I am on the couch with Annette Drake, if you have tuned in late. Annette has written a cozy mystery that's absolutely adorable called Death Goes to the County Fair. Go to thehummingbirdplace.com, and you will see the book cover there. That's what we're talking about. It's absolutely adorable. Now, you write for Basket Hound Books.
Yes.
Okay. Let me tell you what happened. This is a story about you now.
Uh-oh.
I was on the phone with Gelman this afternoon, which, as you know, is Leanne Tyler, who is 29 today.
Happy birthday, Leanne.
And Gelman and I were talking, and I said to her, I said, well, who does Annette write for again? And she said, Baskerville Hound Books. And then she said, no, that's not right. Basset Hound Books. No, that's not right either. Basketville Books. We went through like four or five different Basset type names before we came up with it. Now, tell me about Basket Hound Books. Are they obviously a small press?
Yeah.
Is that your imprint that you have done to deliver your books through, or is that actually a company that has bought your rights and like traditional publishing?
No, it's not anything to do with traditional publishing. It's my own little company. But
okay.
2016 is going to be the most amazing year because I'm going to be in touch with other authors and try to, you know, represent other authors. So right now it's my own work. I've got Death is book number 5, but I see us at the end of the year, you know, looking at, you know, publishing other authors.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Annette, that as an author, when, you know, I'm going to put on my author hat for a minute. The thing that I look for when I'm looking for someone to publish me is, in this day and age of the indie pub, what can a small press do for me that I can't do for myself?
That's a great question. I think every author should ask themselves that question.
Absolutely. And maybe sometime when you figure that out, you can come back and let us know.
Well, that's one of the reasons I started Basket Hound Books, is because I had experience with the small press, and I felt like I felt like it wasn't the experience I wanted. And I felt like, as an author, who knows the book better than the author? Nobody. So when it came,
right,
it comes time to designing a cover, when it comes time to, you know, to write the blurb, those things, the author opinions need to be heard, you know. And I'm very comfortable staying small as long as I'm putting out the books that I want to put out.
Right.
I'm writing the books that I want to write. I don't write erotica. I don't look down upon those who do. It's not my genre. You know,
right.
I want the book, I guess, I don't know if it's, you know, the best business strategy, but the books that I put out, first of all, they please me. I mean, you have to write a book that you're happy with and you're proud of and you want to share, or why are you doing this, you know? So
yeah.
I guess that's the first step is, and I hope that it sounds egocentric or selfish, but I want to publish books that I would enjoy reading too, you know? But then the second thing is, the most, and it says it's my logo, the only validation that really matters is the reader, you know? So
right.
I have no idea what's current or what's trendy. All I want to do are tell stories that people love, and that always starts with writing characters that people love. And if I can do that, you know, success is guaranteed.
Right. Absolutely. Just connecting to the reader is everything. But
yes,
in this day and age, there's so many ways to do it that it's almost tiring.
Yeah.
Actually, it's exhausting,
it
to be honest with you.
It is.
Okay.
It is. It is.
Well, Annette, I have loved having you again, and I love the cover. It's great. I can't talk
Thank
enough
you.
About that cover. It's absolutely adorable. And I wish
you,
absolutely the very best with Basket Hound Books and Death Goes to the County Fair. And next, Death, because he is, in at least Annette's mind, a very active kind of guy. He's, you know, he's kind of sporty now. He's going to go spelunking.
He's
so if you happen to see... Yeah, I mean, if you happen to see Death at the next Bass Pro Shop or Dick's Sporting Goods, and, you know, he's looking up for some of those wire things that, you know, you drop down into the cave with, you'll know why. Death is going spelunking. So,
that's right.
Anyway, this has been Annette Drake. Annette, again, thank you so much. Annette Drake, ladies and gentlemen, you can find her at AnnetteDrake.com. She's absolutely fabulous, does some cozy mysteries you're going to love. And next up is Romance News.
Romancing the Smokies is a romance reader's dream with a book signing, author meet and greet, and luncheon. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, and Leanne Tyler. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry and with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors, March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99 and they will go up after December. The book signing is free, but attendees still need to register. Romancing the Smokies, meet who's hot. Visit romancingthesmokies.com for complete and up-to-date information. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news, every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press Studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com. And now we have got to be on the ball and get it done so that we can talk to Leanne Tyler for her 29th birthday, because there's things that you don't know about her that I'm going to tell on her. I mean, that I'm going to, you know, share with you. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and get with news right now. And with news, with romance news, we have our very own Mallory Kane.
Hi, Donna. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I have first a behind-the-scenes look at becoming a romance cover model. Have you ever wondered what their life was really like, Donna?
Sure.
Of course, we all have, although some of us may have a bit of an idea. Anyhow, it was 2007, and Jason Aaron Baca had been a clothing and ad model for 10 years. The thrill was gone in fashion. So he wandered into a Barnes & Noble hoping to find a self-help book to inspire him and send him in a new direction. When he caught a glimpse of a romance novel, the idea hit him like a bolt of lightning. He could be a romance cover model. All it would take was strength, determination, and a gym membership. He knew he had work to do. He had to say goodbye to fast food and hello to abs. He also needed a great haircut, a fabulous if fake tan, and monthly facials. He needed to figure out how to get on his first romance cover, too. He spent hours in bookstores writing down author names, then went online and queried the authors about who to contact to get on their covers. After about 100 emails, he finally got an answer from Lisa Renee Jones. She gave him the info about her publisher, because she said his photo looked like her idea of her next hero. Before long, he heard from a cover artist who coincidentally lived nearby, and she suggested he let his facial hair grow out and get to her studio at a specified time for the romance cover shoot, which went very well. Fast forward several months, he went into a Barnes & Noble and saw himself on the cover of a book. He bought the book, took it home, and stared at it for hours. He was hooked, obsessed, in fact, with landing more covers, and he did. To date, he has been on 439 covers, and he's still loving it, even though it's not all roses and unicorns. There are times when, although the shoot goes well, another model would get the cover. And he discovered that family and friends don't always get him. But those are small prices to pay for the thrills he gets at being on the covers of books. Baca had a goal in mind when he made his decision to become a cover model. He wanted to match the record of the cover model king, Fabio, who has been on 460 covers. Baca's fertile imagination had Fabio patting him on the back when he hits cover number 461. He says that when he reaches that number, he plans to tear open bags and bags of Reese's Peanut Butter Dark Chocolate Cups and eat, oh, maybe 461 of them in a row and wash them down with a cold Coors beer.
Oh, gosh.
Jason Baca has been on such covers as Michael by Lisa Renee Jones and Blindsided by Lindsay McKenna. So at least one day in the life of a cover model, or 439 covers anyway. Okay, Donna, I know you're sad that Downton Abbey is ending, but you'll be delighted to hear that its creator, Julian Fellowes, will not be idle. His next project is called Belgravia and comes from Grand Central Publishing. The book will break new ground in digital publishing. Belgravia will debut in the serialized fashion of Victorian novels, with each of the 10 installments coming out one by one via an app starting in April. The app will launch the project's official website, julianfellowsbelgravia.com, which already offers an introductory video and an email subscription form. The full book will be available on July 5th after all the installments have been released online, but take note, the digital packages will include bonus features like character portraits and period fashions.
Oh, wow.
In addition, each installment can be listened to as audiobooks. To marry the traditions of the Victorian novel to modern technology, allowing the reader or listener an involvement with the characters and the background of the story and the world in which it takes place, would not have been possible until now. It is a marvelous goal and a real adventure, Fellowes said in a statement. Like Downton Abbey, Belgravia is a period piece. The majority is set in London during the 1840s, but the prologue opens even earlier, at a ball on the eve of the 1815 Battle of Waterloo.
Oh.
And that is my rather brief, I guess, look at news tonight. But
well, that
I
is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. I do have one more tidbit. I've heard via Kelly and Michael that today is Gelman's birthday.
Today is Gelman's birthday. Leanne Tyler, she'll be 29. Well, she is 29 today. The same age as you and I.
I know. Is it amazing or not?
It is amazing.
After being so close, our birthdays begin to sink.
Yes, sort of like, well, you know what Amy Farrah Fowler is always wanting to sink on Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
But at my age of 29, I'm a little beyond that. So that means that I've got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful review coming up, but you're going to hang on, and we will do This Is Your Career, basically. Leanne Tyler, will you hang on for me while we get through to the review?
Well, do we have cake?
Of course.
Birthday cake? Absolutely. Then I'll hang on.
Okay, hang on just a moment. What we're going to do is we're going to jump right over with without much ado to Ms. Jessica. Ms. Jessica, welcome back
Hello.
To Honeymoon Play. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello.
And tell us what you have been reading, young lady.
I have actually been reading a serial called the Forever Sweet series by Megan Vernon. The first one is Sweet Beginnings, and in the spirit of a true serial, it's released in 6 different segments.
Oh.
The first one released on the 1st of January, and the last one will be on the 27th of January. So they're all finished, and I got a sneak peek at all of them before they were released.
Well, tell us all about it.
Well, it is actually, it's almost like a continuation. It's a spinoff of another one of her serial series, the Forever Wild series. You meet two of the main characters in it, Brick and Paige, are minor characters in the Forever Wild series. Brick is a former stripper. And he is moving to Chicago to go to culinary school. while Paige is the former roommate of the main character, Valerie, in The Forever Wilds. And they're kind of cooking up behind everybody else's back and think no one knows. Which, of course, everyone knows. Well, bad things happen during one of their hookups, and they witness a murder. Therefore, they have to go into witness protection together.
Oh, wow.
So, they end up in a small town called Friendship, Texas, working at the Forever Sweet Bakery. And so there are definitely some scorching moments in the book, but there are also moments that will just make you cry because she built such depth into her characters that you can't help but like them. Actually, in the first book, most people will probably dislike Paige because she's really, really not very nice in the first book. Of course, being jerked out of her home and her job and, you know, her future plans is always a bit stressful. I give this a definite 5. If I could give it higher stars, I would. But I give it a definite 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
And the first 2 books have already been released, which are Sweet Beginnings and Sweet Surrender. The 3rd book will be released on January 6th. You can go ahead and pre-order them on most outlets, such as Amazon and Kobo and Books a Million, not Books a Million, Borders. But the last one will be released on the 27th of January. I do definitely recommend this series, and if you really want to start with the true beginning and get the full depth of Brick and Page, I would definitely recommend picking up the Forever Wild series, which you can get in a whole compilation, all 6 together. So, I would definitely recommend that beforehand, but it's not a requirement.
Right.
You can definitely read this serial alone.
Okay, and you said it's Forever Sweet is the name of it. And who, again, is the author?
Megan Vernon. Yes.
Okay, and 5 stars is pretty darn good.
If I could give it more stars, I would. She is one of my favorite authors. I will read almost anything by her. And you can find information about her at www.meganvernon.com. She is also on Facebook and Twitter.
And Twitter?
And Twitter, yes.
I thought I'd get you messed up and you wouldn't be able to say it again. Well, are you
ready
now? Now that we have given 5 stars to Megan Vernon and the Forever Sweet series, are you ready for Leanne Tyler's birthday party?
I so am. I'm ready to party. You know I like a good party.
Well, I know you like a good party. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome my very own helmet, Leanne Tyler.
Hi.
Hey, everybody, welcome her.
Hi,
Leanne.
Hey, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And guess what? My coworker's grandbaby was born about an hour or so ago on my birthday. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, wow. That means you'll always have to buy him a present because you'll always know when it is. Now,
it's a girl. Her name is Haley.
Haley Leanne. Yeah. Right. Okay. So let's get this party started.
Okay.
First, everyone needs to know that Gelman here, also known as Leanne Tyler, is 29 today. Which is the same age as Mallory and myself. And Jessica, how old are you?
I'm 29.
29, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then all four of us gals are 29 today. Oh, you know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
She's 29 today.
Well,
but
of course
we're all
we are.
In fact, I think I'm going to make it a rule that to be on the show, you have to be 29.
I think it's a wonderful rule myself.
Okay.
That sounds
so
great.
Okay, well, first off, a lot of people don't know Leanne's career. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about Leanne Tyler's career because, honestly, Hummingbird Place is all about romance writing, and Leanne is a fabulous romance writer, and why not take this time on her birthday to highlight all of her highlights? And not her hair highlights, her career highlights. Those are two different kinds of highlights. Now,
both equally good. Both.
That's right. Now, Mallory, I know that you were wondering, that you have been spending nights awake wondering how Leanne and I met.
You know, that has been one of the great questions of my life.
Yeah.
I can only understand. Hope that you're going to tell us tonight.
Oh, did you want to know? Okay. Well, if that's what you want, then we'll tell you. I want to tell everybody about something that Leanne did, one of her career highlights, and really, in my opinion, one of her highlights in her life. And that is, it's on January 9th, 1997, and it was a dark and stormy night, was it not, Leanne?
Oh, it was so dark and stormy. It was ridiculous.
It really was. It really was. I mean, this is all joking aside. We laughed that it was a dark and stormy night. But it was a horrible night, and about 13 people got together. Now, I was not one of them, but Leanne was. And Leanne founded the Smoky Mountain Romance Writers in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, I want you to understand what that meant for Leanne's career and for the careers of many other people in the Knoxville area. And really, there would be no words for it. It's just like Jessica was saying about the book she reviewed. If she could give it more than 5 stars, she would. I can't give it more. If I can only give it 5 stars, then I will. But it was because of that night, even though I personally was not there, I wasn't there till the next weekend, I mean the next week, next month, it made a difference in the lives of several people that we are, you know, we're all still pretty close to, actually. Now, Leanne, tell me what you were expecting that night when you walked in there.
I have no idea. I mean, I put an ad in the local newspaper telling that I was that there was a group of writers or an organ, you know, that
right.
Looking for interested writers, and I had 13 people respond to me for more information. Okay, so 13 people. I come to the meeting that we had when I finally was able to get there because, like I said, it was a dark and stormy night. My power was out at home. The transformer had blown. I could not get into my garage to get my car out, so I had to get my mom to take me.
Oh, my goodness.
And I get there, and there is 13 women there, 13 women. But some were different from the 13 that had responded to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was even more people actually showed up that night. So that is when we decided to form the group. And we didn't know what we were doing, but we were determined, and we had that desire to be published, and we were there to learn.
And we did.
Some of us learned faster than others, mm-hmm. you know, when they got published. And it took me 10 more years before I saw my first story released.
Okay, now here's another question for you. Out of those 13, or let's just say out of the first 6 months of people that started coming and being involved out of that first year, how many of those people actually went on to publish that you can talk about today? Now, I know I'm one of them, Donna Wright. So name off some of those people.
Well, there's you, there's Kate McKeever, there's Julie Alexander, there's Carolyn Carey, there's Karen Hall, T.G. Franklin. I know there's more. Who am I leaving out? Oh, Deborah Grace Saley. I'm trying to think of people that, you know, left the group before we did, you know,
right.
Dissolved. Let's see. Oh, who? Let's see. I don't know if you count her or not because she was already published. That girl that wrote for Duets, or not Duets, but Love and Laughter.
Was it Tracy?
She just got published. Tracy somebody, yes.
Tracy South, I think.
That's right, South, yes.
Okay.
See.
Well, see, that's how I got involved in it, was that I went to a book signing. I saw she was having a book signing, just happened to see it. And when I talked to her at the book signing, I told her I was trying to get published, and she said, oh, they're starting Romance Writers of America. You need to come to it. And so I was so excited. And I met Jane Bierce there, and I know that Ricky Mallory is knew Jane well.
Right.
Jane was a sweet little lady, and she was one of us. But then, like you said, it took a while, and there were some ups and downs in the personal life. And then you heard about a contest.
Yes. Actually, it was Deborah Brent that told us about it. She was the one that was really going to write for that contest, and it was kind of several weeks before I ever decided to give it a shot. And so we formed sort of like a little writing group of, you know, we're supposed to be critiquing each other. And I think
That's
I was
right.
the only one that actually finished the story to submit to the contest.
You are absolutely correct on that, and because I was one of them.
but I have to say that I think my critique group that I met with weekly while I was writing that story was very instrumental in helping me, you know, meet that goal and finish that story to submit for the contest. And that was the Through the Garden Gate contest that the Wild Rose Press was running. And my editor it was the person that contacted me. She contacted me. Let's see, we're supposed to found out, I think, like on October 31st, and she contacted me on October the 30th, so I missed it for a whole day. I could have known I was getting published.
Oh, wow.
A whole day before I found out, because I didn't check my email, because I thought, oh, I'm not supposed to hear until the next day, you know. But, oh, my gosh, it was so exciting to know. And, you know, it's sort of like, have you ever just that had such a positive feeling about something, you kind of think,
yes.
this is it. You know,
yes.
this is going to be something, and it was, you know, and I'm so glad, you know, that happened in 2007 for me.
Now, let me go on to say something here, because, again, I was around when all this was going on, and I can tell you that everyone was talking in the group. We were very tight-knit, and everyone was talking about how great Leanne's story was, and Deborah Brent was actually the person who kept saying, I really think she's got a shot at winning. I really think she's going to win. So I found that really exciting. Now, while we're at this point, does anyone else have any questions?
No, but I find that really fascinating. It's interesting to know how all of y'all got together, and it's always been so amazing to me that that group had almost everybody published in that group.
Yeah,
that was
you're
so
right.
cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really amazing.
Well, and not only that, now remember, again, I can't. You can't give somebody 100% of something good happening to you. But Leanne was a huge, and this is why she's so important to so many people. She was a huge factor in many people getting published, and not only getting published, but 1997 to now is, you know, it's going on 20 years.
19 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. think about it, how long we have all stuck together.
I know, that's great too.
And
really,
now we'll talk for just a minute about Smoky Mountain Romance Writers. Smoky Mountain Romance Writers had conferences and contests, and there were people that got published off of those conferences and off of those contests. We had New York Times best-selling authors here in Knoxville. I mean, it was absolutely a fabulous group that did a lot of wonderful things. But mm-hmm. all good things must come to an end. And I'm going to let Ricky talk about that for just a minute, why the Smoky Mountain Romance Writers are no longer together as SMRW, why we're a different group now.
Well, it was, of course, it was a chapter of Romance Writers of America. And RWA, a lot like SMRW, of course, has been responsible for many, many people becoming published and becoming famous, and has been for many years a great source of information and support and mentorship to a lot of people in the romance writing industry and people who are wanting to be and who became romance writers. But it partially has to do with the huge influx of independent writers that came along after the first absolutely automated personal ebook reader, the Kindle, was invented. And suddenly there was a whole new area opening up for writers, and they were not necessarily dependent on traditional publishing, the big six or the big five or what's probably going to eventually become the big one someday.
Yeah.
As it was in the past, and Romance Writers of America being a very large organization with approximately 2,000 members, it's sort of like, in a way, it's sort of like the government. It didn't quite move as fast as technology moved, and so a lot of writers sort of away from RWA and became independent authors in more ways than one, independent in many ways. And while RWA is still a very good organization and fairly relevant to aspiring writers, it is not the only way to go anymore. And a lot of things that are happening in the Romance Writers of America corporate area were making it more and more difficult for individual chapters to be to hold together, to stay together, because the really sort of the attorneys' interpretations of certain things were making it difficult for chapters to remain relevant themselves. So
exactly.
the sad decision was made to disaffiliate as a chapter of Romance Writers of America. But,
now,
of course, like you're going to say, I'm sure many of the group is still together, and I'll send it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, you can't dissolve the friendships the same way that you dissolve a writers group. And
mm-hmm.
we've been through a lot of things together over the past almost 20 years. We've lost parents. We've you know, had problems with children that we've had to get through together. I thought I was never going to get my son through sixth grade. I mean, as serious as I could be. But, I mean, we've been through a lot. And that tight-knit. Like, again, we have to credit Leanne Tyler, my own personal Gelman, with putting together the Canuck Romance Writers with that first initial letter, that first initial thing in the paper, and so on and so forth. So now we're through Smoky Mountain Romance Writers. It's 2007. Leanne has gotten her first publication. She's gotten published for the first time with the Wild Rose Press. It's through a contest. And then she continues to write for Wild Rose Press, and she's doing pretty good. They're buying everything she's selling, except one little book. There's one little book that everybody and their brother has turned down.
Yeah.
But that little book found a place. Now, before Leanne says anything else, I want to tell you what happened. I called her one day, I guess it was in 2012. I was on my way home, and I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm getting ready to put up my first indie book. I'm going to go ahead and put up The Good Luck Charm as an indie." And I said, "Well, that's great. I'm so excited for it." And she said, "I just can't bring myself to hit the button." Leanne, what was that all about?
I think I was afraid of it, of what might happen afterwards. I mean, you know, you're fixing to put it up. Am I doing it right? You know, the first time you're doing it, is it going to go into outer space and never be seen again? You know, like, you know. Not that I'm typically like that, but, you know, I think it was just like, am I really ready to do this? You know, what if it flops? You know, nobody wanted it, you know. I mean, it was kind of scary to go out on the limb and put it out there. But I had a great cover artist, Christy Carlisle, who is now published with Avon Impulse and is no longer doing covers. Boo-hoo-hoo. But I'm so thankful that she posted that she was starting to do cover designs and offered to do my cover to build her portfolio. And she, you know, working with her was awesome. I told her what was important to the story and what I'd like. And she came up with an awesome cover for me. That book draws attention to ever, you know, when I'm at book signings, they see Duke on the cover, my overweight bloodhound that had to be exercised. And he played matchmaker, and he's throughout the series. Everybody loves Duke. And, you know, it's just been a great, you know, she's done several of my book covers that I've independently published. And, you know, I'm happy for her success as an author. But I hated to lose her as my cover artist. But then.
Well, I can certainly understand that. Absolutely. This is the thing that I really wanted to say about The Good Luck Charm. No, the little book that nobody wanted turned out to be your most successful book to date, did it not?
Well, I have sold more of it. I've had more downloads. It's downloaded all over the world in different Amazon venues. Yeah, I've given away more copies than I guess I've sold, you know, of anything else of this book, one book. So, yeah, it's been my most successful, little book that nobody wanted.
That's what I've always called it. I just thought I would call her and say, "How many did you sell today?" And it would be, you know, a ton. I mean, she was able to sell a ton of those. And it is an adorable story. If you're not familiar with the Good Luck series, you need to pick up The Good Luck Charm, and I think you'll really enjoy it by Leanne Tyler.
Something that my readers might want to know, right now I have, for the month of January, I have reduced the Good Luck series. All three books are reduced down to 99 cents, and I've got the box set down to $1.99, and, you know, I'm hoping to reduce another book or two later as the month goes on, so be watching that.
All right. In honor of that 29th birthday.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Okay, so what's new for Leanne Tyler? What are you going to do next? How are you going to wow us?
How am I going to wow you? Oh, my. I am working on the fourth book in this Good Luck series called The Good Luck Clover.
Mm-hmm.
It actually takes place before the Charming Christmas that was in the Christmas novella or box set that we did.
Mm-hmm.
That is on the radar. I'd like to finish that, and I'd like to finally get the second book of the Devereaux series, which is part of that season, you know, first book was Season of Love.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to finish the second book in that. You know, and there may be other things. I've been toying with some other story ideas, and ideas just keep coming, and if I didn't have to work my day job, and I might be able to get more out faster, but, you know, we have to do what we have to do. And you know, I am excited to see what 2016 brings for me. You know, 2015 was good, and I'm really excited about this year, too.
Well, I think it's going to be a fabulous year, and you and Lexi Witcher will be at Romancing the Smokies in Knoxville,
yes.
Tennessee.
Yes.
In fact, so will Jessica, and so will Mallory.
Yes.
Yes.
And sure. And Lexi wants to finish her fourth book in the Dodie Jinx series, she tells me. So
that would be fabulous.
It's so nice mm-hmm. to hear about Lexi from you. Thank you.
Yeah, she's been so quiet this past year. You know, getting those first three books out, you know, really took it out
she's
of her,
been
you know.
Busy.
So mm-hmm. she has, and so she's, you know, she kind of topped herself, so she's been doing some research and, you know, hoping that the fourth book will, you know, be as good as the first three. And, you know, she's talking about postmortem now, so. Yeah, so Postmortem 16 is her title for the fourth book, and she'll be resurrecting some interesting characters.
I like the way you say that.
Good. Yeah.
She'll be resurrecting some interesting characters. Okay, Leanne, we can't wish you happy birthday enough. We hope you've had a good time. I've enjoyed just putting the light on you and letting people just see you shine, Gelman, my little Gelman. And I couldn't do this show without Leanne. I wouldn't even try it. She talked about leaving one time. I said, well, I'm shutting down.
Yep.
So, but Leanne
so
will
said,
be
okay,
with us.
Okay, I'll stay.
And Leanne will be with us at Romancing the Smokies, along with Mallory Kane. And, of course, our Miss Jessica book reviewer will also be there. And Leanne, is there anything that you would like to tell your fans before we go?
No. I'd like to thank everybody that's wished me a happy birthday on here, on Facebook. You know, it's just been a wonderful day. It really has. I'm sort of exhausted. It's been so good, you know. As the day went on, I kept getting sort of more tired, you know. It's sort of like
I started off
with so much energy, you know, this morning. But I've had an awesome weekend, and I hope that the rest of the week, you know, keeps going that way. And I hope everybody out there is having a wonderful day and week.
Well, thank you for joining us for your 29th birthday, Leanne Tyler.
Oh, thank you for having me and for doing this. This is so sweet.
It has been my pleasure. I got to thinking about, what am I going to do? I mean, I can have people call in and do this and do that. And I thought, no, we're going to do This Is Your Career, Leanne Tyler. All right, Leanne, thank you again so much for being on. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my closest friends, Leanne Tyler. And I want to thank Mallory Kane and Ms. Jessica, the book reviewer, for just hanging in there with us so that we could have some other perspectives on a few things. Of course, as you know, it is running very late for us. We're usually out of here by 8:00, and it is 8:09 at this time. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not scared. So the bottom line is that we just want you to remember to buy Dark Hollows Press books And make sure you buy some Leanne Tyler books as well. But for now, we're going to have to go, and we wish you the very best until next week. And next week, we'll start hearing about when those special shows will be up for the sponsors of Romancing the Smokies. And don't forget to register for Romancing the Smokies on March 19, 2016 in Knoxville, Tennessee. Good night.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com.